Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Excited about the guys that we have, so you know, we'll address those after the season.
Why do you think they're choosing to keep their options open? Because we've had Cabali on a lot, and we're going to have Fittipaldo on in 15 minutes. And Mark has come on with us and several times said that they have to, they must get a deal done with Fields before the season starts to give themselves a guy who's locked in to be their quarterback next year, no matter what.
Why do I think that they're not committing themselves?
Yes.
I guess the shortest distance between two points here, that the answer that I feel like is almost too rudimentary but might be true, is they really do look at each one of these guys as just a maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. We traded, a sixth-round pick for Fields?
Mm-hmm.
That's a minimal give-up. If he doesn't show us something.
And we're paying Russell Wilson league minimum.
Like, that they just looked at that as they truly were. Like, we all, I think, watched those acquisitions take place, Pony, and felt like, especially in Fields' case, they were buying low on their next starting quarterback of the future. If you're Khan, you could turn around, and maybe your fans wouldn't like it, but you could say they were both incredible buy low lottery tickets. We decided to rip both of them up.
Yep.
That's the only answer I can give you that even remotely makes sense. Can you have anything different?
No, I don't. I don't think, because I don't feel like they can make a deal with either guy that makes it worth their while to lock themselves in. They turned down the fifth-year option on Fields. They didn't want to pay him almost $25 million. What's the compromise number on him? You give him a deal right now, sight unseen, $18, $20 million to be your quarterback
next year
in 2025 and beyond? No, I don't think so. Because then what you do with Russell Wilson is you create a lame duck situation with him.
He's a genuine lame duck at that
point. I think that would tell me that you really like Justin Fields.
So why don't you just start him right now?
Exactly.
Why did you bring Russell Wilson in?
Right.
Yeah, and it tips your hand.
And I think anything less than that number right now, Fields would be like, I think I'll just wait to see how the season goes and then what the open market brings. With Wilson, if you give him the extension, then Fields is just a backup quarterback for a year. And you've committed yourself
to a guy who's in his mid-30s.
Soon to be late 30s, yep.
When do you hit late? 37?
37 is what I was going to say.
So the mid-years are 34, 35, 36. Early years are 30 through 33, and then 37 through 39?
Yeah.
Actually, I feel like 30 itself, you're just 30. You're not in your early 30s. You are just 30. So I'm right on the back nine of the back nine here, Chalooch. Next year is going to be ugly for me.
Donnie, when do you turn 30, Don?
I still have like a year and a half. Like,
do you think you'll have a big party?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess that's kind of a big one.
Wait. Oh, no, your birthday's in the middle of football season. We can't do that. We have to take Donnie on a trip for his 30th birthday, me and you. We need to take him to Vegas or something.
Well, Donnie's going to Vegas for the Steelers this fall.
We got to take him somewhere else then. Nashville, Nash Vegas.
It's not a bad idea.
What's the least impressive city we could take him to? Donnie, we're taking you to Roanoke, Virginia, brother.
El Paso. I don't know why that popped in my head.
Juarez, I feel like, would be Temptation Island right over the border there.
Here is what Omar Khan said a short time ago on Cam Sutton's half-season suspension.
We understood that there was there was going to be some type of suspension, and you know we respect what the league gave us, you know, and you know we'll be ready to receive him when he's ready.
When he came out with us, he wasn't lying, evidently, when he said, we have no idea what the discipline is going to be. And a lot of Steelers insiders speculated that they did know and that they thought it was going to be short and sweet.
But that informed their decision to bring him on. Clearly, they did not.
One of the takeaways from camp that we can get into, we can get into this with Ray Fittipaldo if we want in about 10 minutes. Apparently, Beanie Bishop from West Virginia, an undrafted guy, was their starting nickelback today.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't even make my list of top 53 Steelers.
When was the last time? Now, he's the starting guy on day one of camp. Obviously, many things can and will happen. When was the last time that an undrafted free agent rookie was a day one starter?
Ooh, that is
less,
a great question.
Steelers. Jalen Warren clearly like worked himself into a role, was not a starter. Last time, I can't even come close to naming one. Because here's why. They are so, historically speaking, they are such a veteran-oriented thing where even Polamalu had to earn his stripes for a year basically doing kind of like grunt duty for Dick LeBeau till he burst onto the scene. Defensively, I can't imagine a guy in the last 30 years breaking in with that kind of role. The only side of the ball I can even fathom it on is offense. Willie Parker, though, wasn't a year one guy. Was he?
No. No, he was not.
I mean, Dan Moore starting left tackle as a fourth-round rookie was a surprising enough thing. You might have to go way back in the time machine to find somebody who fits this bill, man. And again, I'm saying this only as a humorous little hypothetical. I don't think Beanie Bishop's going to be their starter, but who the hell knows?
Well, it's not exactly like they've got...
worlds of depth
Rod
there.
Woodson and Mel Blount competition at the position.
I know.
So let me just look this up on Willie Parker for a minute, because you got me thinking about him. So, no, because remember in 04 he was just on the team, and then he had that big breakout game against the Bills in week 17.
When they had Maddox and all those guys playing, and that got him on their radar for the next year.
Exactly.
Pony, I don't even know if it would be in our lifetime.
Donnie, can you think of anybody who started as an undrafted free agent?
Like right from the jump.
From day one?
My only other thought, did you guys mention Hilton?
But he had been on other teams.
He had been on other teams, right. Like, he had been – like, Harrison
he
bounced around the way he did as an undrafted guy or whatever.
Let's hear Khan on the two guys with contract unsettled situations. Hayward first, then we'll get to Najee after that. Here's the Hayward answer.
I'll say this. You know, we think – I don't want to talk about it. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about a specific negotiation, but – you know, I think Cam's got a lot of football ahead of him still, and I'll leave it at this. I expect him to be here for years to come.
That's the Hayward answer. Now let's compare that to the Najee one.
Yeah, I called Najee when we made the decision, and we just felt at the time it was the right decision for the club. You know, I'll keep the conversation Najee and I had between us, but you know, I can tell you. You know, we think the world of Najee, and just because that option was an exercise doesn't mean that he doesn't have a future here. You know, he represents us well. You guys know what he's like as a football player. He's a great football player. He's great to have in the building. So, you know, I still see a future with Najee. You know, there's different steps and layers to making those decisions, and when we evaluated where the team was, we just said, you know, right now let's hold off.
What's weird about the Najee clip is all the ways he described him in the first part of the clip, Pony, is what you hear people say about Cam. he's great in the building. We know what kind of player he is. We love the guy. I thought he was much more effusive in his praise of Harris than he was of Hayward. Like, if I were weighing those two statements.
Interesting.
I thought the way he talked about Harris, now maybe it's like an over-the-top sell, thou doth protest too
much.
I
feel like he thinks with Hayward, what everyone is self-evident what this guy has done. I don't really need to go
in depth.
Yeah.
See, I just took it at face value and said he was much more over-the-top praising Harris.
Hey, he said with Hayward, I expect him to be here for years to come. You can still like a guy a lot and want to pay him what you're paying him now, which is $15 million a year, $16 million a year, and not want to go all the way to 20-plus. I mean, that's the issue that the 49ers are having with Ayuk right now. I'm sure they like him a lot as a player. They just don't like him enough to make him
a $30
million the next highest paid receiver in the NFL. And I think that that's I don't think that Omar Khan can refuse to give Hayward the money that Cam wants and not be disingenuous or come across as someone that's lying in that clip, is how I take that. And then with the Najee thing, I do think is a lip service, though. With where the number was at and everything else, if you really thought that the guy had a serious future here and you weren't unsure about it, you weren't unclear or unsure or questioning yourself on it or wondering what his role was or where he fit in or how much he could do for you, you would have picked up that option for 2025.
Well, I go back to what I said yesterday. If Arthur Smith, your new incoming OC who made his bones and got a head coaching job because he had a great running back with him in Tennessee, if he came in here and said, this guy is Derrick Henry light, Derrick Henry 2.0, like he can be that player, you pick up that option almost on the advice of your coordinator, don't you?
I would agree. Well,
you let that at least influence and weigh your decision-making process.
When he was getting interviewed that came up.
It had to have. What do you think of your running back room, and what do you think specifically of this guy? We have a fifth-year option decision. Just what do you think of Harry?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trek. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Chris.
It's a great day. Pirates are in the mix for a playoff spot. Trade deadline is 5 days away. We had Jim Bowden join us at 2:35. Did I oversell and underdeliver on that? I said it to people that was going to be the best trade deadline conversation of the week. Did you think Bowden came through?
I thought he was actually really good. I thought he was pretty comprehensive.
Donnie walked away from it and said he was fired up after hearing
it. I think if you're a person who wanted to see Jazz Chisholm come here, I think you feel better about that. By the way, we had another incident with that on the sports call last night. We had a Chaz Chisholm incident with a caller.
A caller did it?
Yeah, a caller did it. Caller did it like twice, and I think said it in a very unfortunate way, too. Like, where it came in the sentence was not good. But no, Jim Bowden, I think, if you wanted Jazz Chisholm to come here, he said all the right things about that and said pair him with McCutchen if there's any worries about, like, I don't think it's so much character. Didn't you say it was just media savvy? He lacks it. He'd get that for sure from McCutchen, who was under a microscope here. The one thing I came way disappointed with, though, and Jim towed this line as a guy who actually was a GM, so he had to make these calculations, and I disagree with this, so did you. He threw cold water on Brent Rooker. Two things I took from that. Brent Rooker cannot play the field. He just can't. You can't put him out on the diamond and actually make him field a position, in Jim's opinion. That's how I took it. And he also said, he's a great DH, but would you move Andrew McCutchen off that spot and basically bench him for Rooker?
He said no.
It would mess with the fabric of that locker room. All due respect, I've never been miles, you know, close enough to be in a major league locker room or a pro sports locker room and know what those dynamics are like. Brent Rooker's got a 950 OPS. He is one of the best offensive forces in baseball. I would hope Andrew McCutchen would be willing to become a part-time player to get a bat like that in the lineup.
And play some right field.
Yes.
Well, the Steelers also wrapped up day one of practice. That's always a huge deal here, and no better person to talk to you about that than our next guest, Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers Insider Post-Gazette, brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity, LGKG.com. Ray, who was the Steelers day one training camp MVP?
Well, I mean, I don't know about MVP, but I think the main headline out of today, Andrew, was Justin Fields getting all the reps with the ones because Russell Wilson had to sit out with that calf injury. I think it's pretty significant because Russ took every single rep during OTAs and minicamp, whatever that was, 15 practices. Russ was there every day. He was very present. So the fact that Justin finally got that opportunity, and I think he performed pretty well. You know, there were a couple of throws where, some of those inaccuracies came back into play, but I thought overall he had a deep ball to Van Jefferson that was a nice, pretty ball. I thought he commanded the offense well. So I don't know about a star for the day, but I thought Justin Fields took his opportunity today and ran with it and did pretty darn well.
Ray, are you willing to say after one practice that Field to Van Jefferson is the new Jim McMahon to Willie Gault for this team?
or Kenny Pickett to George Pickens last year? Wasn't that
That was Montana to Rice.
That's me just vicious.
That's me just cruelly trolling Pony. It wasn't even a real question, so I will ask you one now. You know that if Pony was obsessed with the idea of Kenny Pickett being really good last year, I'm obsessed with the opposite idea about Dan Moore. Please get this man out of the starting lineup, and yet here he was again, left tackle on day one of camp. Ray, please talk me off the metaphorical ledge I am standing on about that situation.
You got to wait a few more weeks. You knew it wasn't going to happen on day one, right, Chris? I mean, we talked about that since the
If it had, I would have known that they felt like they had two Marquise Pouncey
to tackle.
But, Ray,
even if to follow up on Chris, why not have Jones practice that left tackle where he's going to play and have Moore at least get used to right tackle if you want to keep him in the starting lineup for now?
Well, I mean, I'm not convinced. Dan Moore can't play the right side. Mike Tomlin has told us that.
Ugh.
I'm not even convinced, guys, that Dan Moore can be your swing tackle because he's never done it. So I think the main issue is Troy Faletonu has to prove he is ready and that he can play as your starting right tackle. And until that happens, Broderick has to be able to hold that down. And then when Faletonu is ready, Broderick has told us and the coaches have told us they don't think it's going to be much of an issue for Broderick to slide back over to the left side. He did it throughout his college career. He's a great athlete, and they think that transition can happen. I don't want to say within a few practices, but I think that, you know, if they give him 2 to 3 weeks to get that down before the season starts, I think that's enough time for him. So it's not going to happen this week, probably not even next week, but I think over time, I'm going to stand pat and I'm going to say what I've been saying. I think Faletonu will be the starter on day one, but don't expect it to happen in late July or early August. I think we're still a few weeks away from that.
What else stood out about the first team offense and first team defense today, Ray?
Well, I wrote about the little heated exchange between new receivers coach Zach Azani and George Pickens. It happened on the second to last play of practice. I've never seen George Pickens coach like that before. And that got me to thinking, guys. It got me to questioning, has George Pickens ever been coached hard? And how is he going to react to that through all training camp and throughout the rest of the season? I mean, it was a good back and forth there. Pickens was not happy for quite some time after that. I'm sure the Steelers will tamp it down in the days to come if George and Zach end up talking about it. But to me, that was one of the main takeaways of this practice along with Fields.
What was it about, Ray?
I didn't catch the entire rep. I apologize for not knowing if it was a running play or a passing play, but I got the idea that Zach didn't like the way that George executed the assignment. So whether it was he was supposed to block on the play or whether he was supposed to carry out his route in a second way, I caught the entire exchange afterward. And
was he cussing him out? Was he cussing out
the coach? Was this like Jim Leland, Barry Bonds, like going back and forth?
I don't want to. When you say cussing, you're inferring that there's swear words there. I didn't pick up on any swear words, but Zach was going at him pretty good. George was coming back at him. Eventually, George walked away, and I think Calvin Austin went up to him, said something to him. A couple other guys said something to him, but George wasn't having it. I don't think he liked the way that he was being coached in that situation. And we'll see if it turns into anything else. But, I mean, guys, it's definitely something to watch here as training camp goes on. Like I said, this is a guy who was coddled in college. You can make a pretty good argument. He was coddled his first 2 years by Mike Tomlin and Frisman Jackson. And if his first practice today was any indication, he's not going to be coddled by Zach Ozzani. Well, and Arthur Smith.
It makes me start to think, though, is Mike Tomlin going to play good cop while the position coach and maybe the OC play bad cop with George Pickens? I guess I'm very interested to see how Tomlin will respond to any of this if he gets quizzed about it, or if, as you said, Ray, if it becomes any more of a story, because he has been the main guy saying we're working on George, but we love George, all this niceties about the player.
Yeah, I mean, listen, George is a pretty sharp guy. He's got to see the writing on the wall, right? I mean, they got rid of Deontay Johnson because he was a problem. And George Pickens has to know that if he doesn't turn around his act and, act in a more appropriate manner on and off the field this season, that he might be the next guy out the door. Or at the very least, he's not going to get a second contract with the Steelers. So, I think George is smart. I think, after today, he probably realizes, if he didn't already know it, he is going to be coached hard. This is a new offensive staff. It's not going to be the same. And, we'll see how this goes. But, I thought that was a pretty interesting development that happened today late in practice.
Yeah, definitely sounds like that to me, too. Ray Fittipaldi with us. Ray, you've been asked this question ever since you took over the beat. Fans love fullbacks. Is the offense going to have a fullback this year from what you saw? And who's going to play there?
I apologize for not knowing his name. Number 45, played at Oregon State. He took a few reps today. He was in there in a few team periods. He got thrown the ball a couple of times. But after one practice, guys, I don't get the sense.
So they're not putting it out there with a first-team offense kind of deal, a fullback.
I don't get a sense that it's going to be any more than it has been the last couple of years.
All right, how about then another one we get asked about? How about Corey Trice coming back from that knee injury? They loved him last year before he got hurt this time last year. Where's he fitting into things here, Ray?
Yeah, well, Dante Jackson, of course, is the starter. I thought Dante actually had a pretty good day. He was matched up on Pickens, had a couple of pass breakups. Trice is going to fit in, wherever he can. If he could play on special teams as a gunner, I think that'll be his first opportunity to get onto the 53-man roster. But make no mistake about it, he is the type of corner that they want in this defense. They want those long-rangey guys who can shut down those outside passing windows, kind of like Joey Porter. Trice is even bigger than Porter. So, we'll see how he comes along. I think we have to see him, obviously, over an extended period. But, if he can stay healthy, I think he'll have a chance to make a name for himself here this summer.
We know Cam Sutton suspended. Beanie Bishop, though, apparently was the running with the ones as the slot corner, Ray. Is that something we should read into any, you know, significantly? It's day one and he's out there. And as a companion to that, on the back end of this, if he were to somehow hold that job into week one, when is the last time an undrafted rookie free agent was a Steelers day one starter? Can you even think of one?
No, I cannot. I know Mike Hilton was with the Steelers the previous season on the practice squad, but then he unseated William Gay in training camp. He was kind of an unknown, so that would probably be the
not
closest
a rookie
thing.
Though,
not a rookie, but he was probably the closest thing that I could think of, a guy coming out of nowhere in doing that. So yeah, Beanie Bishop was the number one corner when they played slot, but Deshaun Elliott also worked in the slot today. So I know there's a distinction. That'll be a matchup thing depending on who the opposing receiver is. But, Omar said it today. They're going to look at these guys in the slot. They're going to look at these receivers they have in training camp, and then they're going to make some evaluations and see if they have to make a trade or, make some moves before the season starts. But they like Beanie Bishop. He's an older rookie, has a lot of experience in college, and yeah, he's going to get first crack at it. We'll see how he does.
Hey, Ray, we were talking about this before we brought you on. You and I have had probably at least at this point a dozen conversations about Brandon Ayuk coming to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Now that CeeDee Lamb is actually holding out and is taking his contract situation with the Cowboys more seriously and more aggressively than Ayuk is with the 49ers, why is no one nationally talking about CeeDee Lamb getting traded to a team like the Steelers?
Maybe that'll be something that comes up in the next couple of days. CeeDee Lamb is probably going to want more money than Ayuk, I would think. I think CeeDee Lamb is probably going to want Justin Jefferson type of money. Ayuk is probably going to come in a few million less than that. So if people connected the dots correctly, I might say, and think this, it would be hard for the Steelers to pay Ayuk, then, maybe that's why it's not being speculated upon locally. So, those rumors are fun. I still think it's probably going to be one of those 49ers guys if the move is made. But, hey, maybe they could create some cap space and get something done. We'll have to wait and see.
Ray Fittipaldo, check him out all training camp long in the Post-Gazette, top Steelers insider. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. See ya.
I'll tell you what. Zach Azani. I've never met the guy.
He's going to be very popular in town.
One of the reasons why I wanted Hines Ward as wide receivers coach was because given Hines' background, I thought if he stood up to these guys, they'd have to respect him and take it seriously because he's a borderline Hall of Famer. This guy does not have that in his background, but he's got some serious balls day one in training camp where he's given tough coaching to George Pickens.
Well, I was looking back. I Googled both of their last names to see how much was getting written about this today. And going back even to February, there was like a story on one of the Steelers blogs. I think it was the Steeler Nation one. Steelers hired Azani to match Pickens' intensity and rein him in. So, like, you and I probably, to be fair, did not pay a ton of attention to that hire. Hey, it's just a new position coach. But apparently this was the book on the guy that to say it this way, kind of a hard ass who coaches people.
Good, because their details were crap last year.
Listen, I'm the biggest Pickens fan out there probably, and I've probably defended him too when I could have taken him to task. Good. There's nothing wrong with hard coaching. Like, I do, that does bother me anymore. You and I are not old guys at all. But in, like, the last 15 years, I feel like, since this station's been on the air, just across sports, it's like, no, the player always knows best. No! You can dog cuss a guy if he's lollygagging at practice, especially if he is somebody as talented as Pickens is.
TRT, 5:30's on Thursday with us. You get to pick the segment. We give you a bunch of options. You tell us what you want us to talk about. The four on the table today, Big Bat linked to the Buccos, Steelers' new wide receiver two options, no deals for Steelers quarterbacks, with the Dulac story that neither quarterback is going to get a deal before the season starts, and Malzie's golf game. Malzie's golf game came in third. His new putting approach, his tournaments, his match with Donnie over the weekend did not finish first. Instead, we have Big Bat linked to the Buccos. at 61.7%.
Everybody's got Bucko fever.
There is breaking news on the Pirates. Brian Reynolds is not going to play in this series against the Diamondbacks, and it has nothing to do with his back. He's been placed on the bereavement list. So condolences to a member of the Brian Reynolds family. That is why he will not be a part of what is a massive series for the Pirates, both this weekend and next weekend against the Diamondbacks, one of the teams that they are right there with in the wild card standings.
It's also, I mean, obviously condolences, yeah, go out, and it's a horrible reason, but given that the guy's back had flared up, maybe in that sense the couple days off that he's going to get just settles that all down, you know, in a good way for him, because they need him desperately down the stretch. Obviously, a couple days off for the worst possible reason.
Okay, so MLB trade deadline story here on ESPN.com. And they polled people inside baseball on what they think each team will do. Buy, sell. They had an even number of panelists, which is problematic because the panel was split on the Pirates.
Of course they were.
AL executives and NL executives, half of them said buy, and half of these SOBs said that they should actually sell at 52-50 in a game out of a playoff spot.
Who were the NL executives saying that they should sell? Teams that are around them in the playoff chase? I'm actually a general manager for the Dan Ciego Padres.
Well, here's what an American League executive said about them. Quote, this is a tricky one. I get that they haven't made the postseason in a decade, but are they really going to add players and push Paul Skeens and Jared Jones down the stretch? That's why I voted to subtract. It's asking too much. They need to load up for when Skeens and Jones are in their prime. So it gets back to the innings limits and being afraid that if you ask those guys to pitch into October, it's going to be detrimental to their career, even though there's no proof that that actually happens. The Nationals handled Strasburg with kid gloves because that's what
Boris
the agent wanted, and the guy is in his early 30s and out of baseball right now, retired because of arm problems. It didn't work.
Again, I will say this. If the only data point we really have is did you throw a lot of pitches growing up and through that, Paul Skeens hasn't even been a full-time pitcher for that long. If anybody of these players is geared for this right now, it's probably Skeens. Man, that feels like that AL executive is echoing like what most people here would call the worst-case scenario viewpoint that Charrington would have internally, right? Like, if Ben Charrington came out and said that, we would be foaming at the mouth if that was our GM saying that about this team, his team.
But I do think it's true that there would be sphincters tightening up in the front office. For as much excitement as people would get from a long playoff run, it would be like the way the organization handled him in the no-hitter game. Like, oh no, we advanced to another round. Here's another 15 innings on Skeens. That's going to get his total from 150 up to 165. Oh, we made it to the World Series. Now it's going to go from 165 up to 180. And he only pitched 120 innings last year, and that's a 60-inning increase. We better win it, because if we don't, this is going to completely derail his entire career.
You
know that people in their front office are going to be thinking that way, Chris.
Even
in that situation where we have the greatest October in 45 years here.
They come up short in Game 7 by one run in a
classic. We don't win the World Series, and we put all this strain on Paul Skeens. The baseball gods have conspired against us. How dare they? That kind of thing.
So I was looking at Verlander, right, who pitched.
He pitched into the postseason with the Tigers that year.
In his real first year, he threw 186 innings, and then he threw 200-plus for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 years in a row, and then he got banged up in 2015, only threw 133, then ripped off a couple more.
For all these.
But he is – hold on. The reason I bring him up is – he is physically the closest comp, I think, to Skeens, a big, strong guy. And again, if probably the one thing you could reasonably say about arm injuries is it's just a wear and tear usage thing.
Yeah.
After a while, Skeens has less wear and tear on him than almost anybody in his position.
Would you count big fat guy, or is the fat helping or fat hurting, in your opinion, in this comparison?
I don't think it's helping, because I think it's not. Okay, well, your body is not moving as efficiently as it could.
Look at Sabathia. His big fanny was putting 200 innings on that arm every year from the second he got to the major leagues. Well, he was not getting treated with Pampers and diapers.
The other thing that matters, apparently, is they did a study where they found out if your UCL, if your ulnar collateral ligament is 3 millimeters instead of the standard 2, you basically won't tear your ligament.
All right, so let me get to the good part of this article. So I said big bat.
Yeah.
The consensus among the executives who were polled said what the Pirates should do is make a short-term addition to energize the clubhouse. So, hey, let's not give up any big prospects, but let's do something that shows you that we really hope you win this year. Like, let's do a very cheap rental.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So they threw Justin Turner's name out there from the Blue Jays as one of those guys. He could conceivably play maybe third base, too.
Justin Turner overdrive.
With the way that Hayes is hit.
He'd be taking care of business out there,
every
buddy.
Every day, every way. What do they play at their concerts every? I mean, after taking care of business,
they're like,
do they have a second song?
They're like, they like look out there at the crowd. They're like, you know what? I think you want to hear "Taking Care of Business" yet again.
They just play it on loop. You just hear that.
That's what I always wondered about Chumbawamba. If they went touring, it's like, do you really want to hear something else, or do you just want us to play tub thumping for 90 minutes?
So at the end of this article, they say you want to really
fire people up.
You want to do a rental that would turn heads? Cody Bellinger.
Oh, boy, that would turn heads. That would turn
heads. He plays center field, but he is very, very, very expensive. And as this article points out, there's also the chance, because the way his contract got written up, their player options for the next 2 years.
That he picks them up.
That he picks it up.
He wins the World Series here and picks up the option.
I mean, he's been hurt, so his numbers aren't so good. Maybe he thinks that the one-year option is better than going back into free agency.
Well, he's a good baseball player. He's actually closer to it. Well, those two horrible years kind of cloud my thinking, but he is, in balance, a very, very good baseball player. That would get me fired up. You know why?
That would fire me up more than Chisholm.
They would have to assume a big salary for the rest of the year and the risk that he would pick up the options. Now, they could trade him after he picked up an option, of course.
Yeah, the executive said, I'd even take a flyer on Cody Bellinger, but you might be stuck with him.
That would be badass. That's a huge name with cachet.
But think about it, though. They don't have a center fielder in their pipeline. They don't have one coming down the pike. What's their payroll right now? $83 million?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so
they would be taking on the prorated amount of his salary, which would be less than $15 million.
Okay,
take on $13 or $12 million.
But let's say he actually picks up his player option for next year.
Sure.
Then that would mean that they're, let's see what the number is on his player option.
It's a $27.5 million option next year with a $2.5 million buyout. It's a $25 million player option the year after that. Or, I guess, in 2024, it also says the Cubs have a $5 million buyout of his contract option.
I asked about that. That's a misprint on Baseball Reference. Okay. Yes, I asked someone in
Chicago. Okay, so it's
27.5
and then 25. It still wouldn't goose their payroll up to an insane number at all. They'd be in, like, the high one teens.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.